Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Taylor Radio. In this episode, the first part of the episode, I'm going to talk a little bit about what I'm hearing about the debates and how Donald Trump got COVID. What do I think is going to happen with COVID and the effect on hydrochloroquine? Then I'm going to jump into how the left has opened the gates of hell. Now, you want to stick around for that. That's the best part of this episode. So if you want to skip ahead, go ahead. But listen up and listen good. You can follow me on my website, tstutch.com, YouTube, Taylor Stutch, Facebook and Instagram, Taylor Radio, and Twitter, tstutch1. Thank you for listening. Enjoy. Hello, peeps. Hello. Let's jump into it, shall we? So there was a presidential debate a couple days ago. I did not watch it, just for one, because of my schedule, but actually that was the main reason. And I did not hear a lot of good come out from it, but it does sound like Biden might be a little scared. I heard that Trump pretty much dominated stylistically, while maybe not dominating on a actual point-by-point debate basis. But I want to talk about that for a minute here. Who gives a shit about these debates? Who cares? I mean, I'm young, you know, I get it. I'm a young guy, I'm only 28, but I'm sitting here thinking like, the debates are fake. All the debates are fake, right? They really are. Anyone who listens to a debate and thinks that, oh, okay, yeah, these people are being totally honest with me, is out of their mind. In fact, I would be fine if they got rid of the debates. I'd much rather have discussions. I've talked about this before. In case you guys aren't aware, I'm outside here. But, my God, it's 5:30 in the morning. Anyway, I've discussed this before. That essentially, debates are not what you think. Debates are really not, like, a lot of the ways that we think about debate and argumentation are not good ways to find truth. They're honestly not. Sometimes there are good, I mean, I've seen some good debates where people bring out good points. But for the most part, debates are not that great, especially because if somebody asks you a question about something and you are new to that question, you've never heard that question before, or maybe it exposes a flaw or problem with your argument, on a debate, there's a good chance that if new information is introduced, that you need to take time to organize that into your thought process, or to organize that into your argumentation, to organize that into what you know, into your library of knowledge. And too often, we have seen what is debates, where people bring up things and they're just trying to score points, like a boxing match or something like that, where it's like, hey, look, I'm just trying to win. And when you're just trying to win, that changes the nature of debating. If you're just trying to win and you're not actually concerned with being right or wrong, then you will say anything to win. And you will, not only that, you will appeal to many things like emotions to win. You know, this is kind of what we are seeing now in the landscape. This is one reason why SJW wokeism is so dangerous, and why it's also so infectious, because it doesn't appeal to reason. It doesn't appeal to logic. It appeals to emotion. It appeals to emotion, it appeals to fear, it appeals to not wanting to be ostracized from the group. And that is what a lot of modern day debating comes down to. It's about, oh, how can I make myself appear and look and sound virtuous? And how can I make my opponent sound and look and appear like they're dumb or dim-witted? Even if that might not be the case. Now, It's unfortunate, but that's where we're at. Now, what I want to move forward to is Trump was just diagnosed with COVID. And one of my first reactions is I'm not surprised, okay? I'm not surprised because he hangs around people that have been diagnosed with COVID. And so I'm not surprised. You know, that's the bottom line. Now, I think he'll probably be okay. I think he's going to, assuming he actually has it and this isn't some kind of stunt or game, I assume that he's going to come out of this thing pretty unfazed. Now, I could be wrong. It could end up killing him. It could end up taking his life, but I highly doubt that. Now, what I do think is that he'll take hydrochloroquine. And it would actually, I mean, if I had to make some predictions based on what I'm thinking now, I assume Trump will probably take hydrochloroquine and zinc and that whole thing, and he'll probably come out on top. So, you know, Trump will probably beat the virus, and what I think will likely happen is people will be endorsing the use of hydrochloroquine more because he'll probably be taking that, he'll probably recover, he'll probably be fine. And after I think that happens, I think people are really going to be pushing hydrochloroquine a lot. I think they'll be pushing it a lot. And I think we'll just have to see. You know, I mean, we have seen many people. There have been other world leaders. What is it? The guy in the UK, he got it. He was in the hospital, and then he turned around pretty quickly. And I think the speculation is that he had hydrochloroquine. I think the president of Brazil, I don't know. There were many high-profile politicians across the world who ended up getting it. And I think most of them, with the exception of a few, I think most of them turned out to be fine. So, you know, I suspect that Trump will also be fine. I suspect he really won't have a problem with COVID. So, yeah, that's what I got to say about that. Now, next, I want to talk about opening the gates of hell. I was listening to a fantastic podcast with Joe Rogan and Tim Dillon. And towards the end of the show, and Tim Dillon actually brought this up at one of his podcasts. Towards the end of the show, they were talking about the problems of New York and LA, how they are very badly run cities with terrible mayors. And they were just talking about the whole situation. They were talking about how these cities have just deteriorated so much and also so rapidly. Right? They've deteriorated so much, and it's been so rapid. And they were discussing how people are, like, major media figures and things like Cuomo, Chris Cuomo on CNN, and other politicians have been encouraging violence. Right? There was a I can't remember. There was a black politician, a female, I can't remember her name, who was encouraging people. I mean, she's been pretty prominent at times. She was encouraging people to confront people they disagree with. I think it was either politicians or people who voted for Trump, you know, approach them at restaurants and approach them while they're just going about their daily lives. And there have been politicians and other people that have come out in favor of, you know, the quote-unquote protests, which are actually riots, and they're burning down buildings and attacking innocent people. And so we know all that stuff's been going on. If you've actually been following the information flows, right? Because if you follow mainstream news, what's happening is you're getting distilled information. You're getting filtered information. And what you, how I get my info is I follow some trustworthy sources online. And then you get to see, you see like firsthand things, like firsthand sources, like videos and pictures that are coming out as they happen, especially on Twitter. There's a lot of journalists on Twitter, a lot of people who go to these protests and videotape what's going on firsthand. So you get a really good idea of, or seemingly a really good idea about what's actually happening in these quote-unquote protests, which are actually riots. Now, they were discussing how Tim Dillon discussed how they're opening the gates of hell, like people like Chris Cuomo, how he talked about, you know, since when do protests need to be peaceful, and discussing how all these other politicians are like tacitly agreeing with Antifa and Black Lives Matter destruction of our cities. And when he said that, he talked about how Chris Cuomo and these other politicians think they can control the chaos. They think they can open up the gates of hell and that they can control where the fires burn and where the evil spreads. They think they can direct the anger, the angst, the destruction against their political enemies. The problem is that is incorrect. That's incorrect. And he pointed it out. He pointed it out. He discussed how they think they can control this fire, but they're going to come for you too. You know, like people that are dumbasses. This is one reason why I cannot understand how people on the left, how Democrats, left-wingers can, how they can be on that side, right? Or how, don't get me wrong, I don't like to turn this into a right versus left, but it's like, I don't understand how you can be in favor of Black Lives Matter terrorism when you don't understand where it goes. And the place where it goes is it goes to destruction. It goes to violent destruction. It goes to attacking innocent people. And it's funny because since I'm a student of history, since I like history, I've learned about the revolutions. I've learned about the French Revolution, the Russian Revolution, the Maoist Revolution. And so I am never in favor of what's going on right now. Now, when I say never, I mean like I am not in favor of that. Like as an adult, you know, I can understand stupid kids. But see, these stupid adults, these politicians, these business people, they think, oh, I can control how this goes. And I think part of that, I think, it comes from arrogance. I think there's a place of arrogance with these people that they believe, hey, we can control the fire. We have control over these people. And two, they fundamentally misunderstand or are naive about the possible consequences of the situation. I think a lot of people, even these older generations, I think a lot of them think, look, this is the United States. We don't have to worry about a Marxist, violent, nasty revolution in the streets with guerrilla warfare. This is America. We don't have to worry about that. I think a lot of people are complacent because they think that's how things are, that's how things have been, that's how things will be, that it will be peaceful. But there's no guarantee anything will be peaceful unless we actively keep the peace. We must actively work to reconstruct and continue constructing new things off of the past. We have to know the past and understand the past to make our future. And we have to constantly maintain that knowledge and understanding. And yet nobody understands this. Not nobody, but obviously the left-wingers and a lot of Republicans don't either. That's how we got this far. That's why we had so much illegal immigration coming into this country, because Republicans and Democrats both agreed that it was okay. They said, hey, it's okay, it's fine. We can just let, you know, millions of people come into the country illegally and we won't educate them and they can have their own enclaves. And one day we'll have a country that is so divided because there are so many people from different countries and cultures and backgrounds that we can't get anything done. That sounds like a great idea, especially if you don't know anything about history. Anyway, and I also wanted to tie this into the idea of complexity. You know, humans were complex beings. This is one reason why the COVID situation is, it's not black and white at all. You know, I was a big proponent of being cautious about the uncertainty at the beginning. And now that we're about, you know, we're not even that far into it. You know, you guys got to remember, imagine if the flu was a brand new fucking, imagine if the flu was a brand new virus, right? And we go, oh, 6 months in that we know everything about the flu. No, I don't think we know everything about COVID. And I think we should be careful, but I think we also still need to be able to go about our lives. Anyway, what I want to get into is there's a large element of uncertainty here. And I think that the left wing, especially the George Soros types, they are underestimating how much control they think they have over these people. I think the left wing, the media, the businessmen, the academics, they think that they could model this behavior, control this behavior from the radical left, when you can't do that. These are radical people. And honestly, they're just people in general. You can't control behavior of large amounts of people like this. Because once that they start going, you don't know how to stop them. It's like how you could put out a fire here. You could put out a Antifa cell in the Northeast or in the Northwest, and then another one pops up in another part of the country. You know, people are going and rioting and protesting because criminals are getting shot by police. Who would have thought that was going to happen? Not me. But that's because this movement, this behavior, it's uncontrollable. Or it's not totally uncontrollable, but it's unmanageable. Like, you could put a stop to it over time, but you can't go, oh, I want it to go in this direction, or I want it to move in that direction. You could put a stop to it by introducing, you know, harsher penalties for certain activities, but if you allow it to happen, you're not going to be able to say, oh, don't protest this event, but protest that one. You're not going to be able to control it. It's like how there was a fake Proud Boys event at a place, I think, in Pennsylvania, and the Proud Boys were setting up Antifa. They put a fake event on Facebook. A bunch of Antifa showed up, and they started fighting with each other. Because, like I said, it's not manageable. When they show up, they just want to do shit. There's just energy. There's movement. They don't know what they're doing. They're just doing things. That's also what makes it so dangerous, too, is that it's not manageable. So that's where we're at. That's where we're at. And I also want to say, I think it needs to be clear. People that are moving from California, that are moving from New York, from Oregon, from liberal parts, Seattle, liberal parts of the country, do not come to red states and vote for Biden. That is so unethical. That is so unethical to, you know, the Democratic Party politicians have destroyed cities across this country. They've destroyed entire states. The state of California appears to be in ruins. Of course, you know, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it's a dumpster fire. And New York isn't much better, if it is any better. And yet, people, I'm hearing about podcasters, famous comedians, that say they're going to vote for Biden and they plan on moving to Texas. No. What are you doing? What are you doing? It's like, get back where you came from, or so help me. Just like that song, get back where you put that thing back where it came from. Anyway, that's all I got for today. So, but we're getting closer to the election time. Election time, election time. Time to vote and see what's inside. You can follow me on tstutch.com, Facebook and Instagram, Taylor Radio, YouTube at Taylor Stutch. You can buy my anti-Joe Biden merch. Thank you.